Good morning. Welcome in the name of the Lord. We're glad that you're here this morning. It's just about time, so we're going to go ahead and get started. And as we always do, we want to share with our fellowship any announcements coming up. You can see some of these on the back of your bulletin, but are there others to add? All right. I think Deb's going to have one. She's grabbing Bob, probably.
And I need them to hear. Okay. Kelly asked me yesterday that if I would announce, if you look on the back table, there's a sign-up sheet for a fundraiser. It's for sandwiches, and this is for Weller Church. And if anybody's interested in getting ham, it's ham and cheese, roast beef, or turkey and cheese. And the sandwiches are $5 a sandwich, and that benefits Weller Church. If you sign up back there, the money's back there as well. It's all due by 7/28, so that's next Sunday.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then on August the 11th, Kelly is going to pick them up and deliver them here at the church. Okay? So if anybody's interested, it's ham and cheese, roast beef, turkey and cheese. And that benefits Weller, and it's $5 a sandwich. Now, I did this some time ago, and I think we need to do it again, and that is for Sam and Jackie. Jackie had her surgery Monday. She's doing good. Their daughter is down to help take care of things. Sam, as you know, is from the old school, so the guys were out in the field, not in the kitchen. So he's not too good in the kitchen. So they would be appreciative. They didn't ask. I asked them. And they said, "You sure?" And I said, "I'm sure." So I spoke for all of you, like I always do. So Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're going to take a meal to them. They said, Jackie said, "We're not picky. We eat anything." But she said, "Please, Deb, don't bring the fried liver and onions. So don't anybody bring fried liver and onions." We're going to do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays starting this coming week, and then we'll do it for the next three weeks down here, but we'll just see how well she bounces back. So if you would see me after church or give me a call with a Tuesday or Thursday date, I appreciate it. You know what? We're here as brothers and sisters to take care of each other, so I think that's the least we can do.
Thank you, sister. Brother Bob, do you have an announcement?
No, I'm just trying to listen.
Okay. Others? I know Karen has an important one to make. So, Karen?
Ready? Okay. Better get up so everybody can hear me and my back's not getting any better. Turn around. Okay. This started off a couple months ago. Dehumidifier in the basement failed. It just kept shutting off. I thought it was awful hot, awful damp. Got a new industrial strength dehumidifier. Works perfect. Basement, I thought, was dry. So I was walking through after setting up the dehumidifier. There were, like, shavings around the edges of the baseboard. Okay. So maybe I better figure out what it is. So I called Deb. Deb's my sounding board. Deb, we got something going on here. So I called our termite person. He came out. He says, "Oh, yeah, you've got termites." And he went all around and said, "Okay." His bill is going to be about $6,000 to take care of the termites. So I went out online and I started getting bids. Bug guy came out. He went around. He said, "You have termites and ants." He said, "We can treat for both. I can do it right away." They trenched all the way around the church. They drilled holes. They infused the stuff. They infused it on the cement. Okay, so that's done. $1,500. It gave us a break. All right. Wasn't that good? Okay. Well, then I needed the... I know I'm not done, Carol. Then when he was checking for termites, his hand went through the paneling in the basement. Okay. Well, let's see what this is. So I called KLS from whichever way down the road he is.
That way.
That way? Okay. He came out the other night and he said, well, he said, there's block wall back here. He said, we can tear out this paneling and, you know, see what's back there, get rid of all the furring strips holding up that paneling and patch all the holes, seal it. Well, then he suggested an extra step, which we're not sure that that would be a trustee thing when we all get together. But he can seal it up, but that's doing the entire basement. We went to every corner, was mold and mildew crawling up the wall. So it's like, okay, we've got to get this fixed. The health of the building is not good. So he has yet to send me his invoice. He just, for his, what it's going to cost, he just came over the other night. So we have to go through and see how much he's going to cost. And then when we were outside, he said the gutter guards you have up there are shooting the water right over and run straight down and it's soaking your basement. So we need to have different gutter guards up there. I said, do you do that? He says, no, I do not. I said, okay. What do you do? He said, well, he has PJs. Does anybody know PJ? They're in the area? Okay. They're going to come and look at this and tell me if they can just do some adjusting to get the level right and put new gutter guards on that the water will run down in instead of overshooting and getting in the basement. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. You're a problem.
I am. I said the pitchforks are going to come out.
You're missing your prayer covering in behind.
Did it fall? Okay. It certainly is. Don't let me look back there. I don't want to find anything else.
Thank you, Karen, for this update. And we just want to let you know what's going on. And we'll have probably some figures then to present to the congregation at some point. Without any further announcements, let us begin our worship. The Lord says in his word, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to come before your presence this day, your day. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way. By the power of your Spirit, Lord, we invite you here. We invite you, Lord, into this space. Lord, use this time. Use us as your vessels to spread the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would show yourself strong in the week ahead. And we ask that in this worship hour that all that's said and done would be for your honor and glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in standing if you can, and we're going to share together hymn number 14. In 1748, on this day, Benjamin Franklin is quoted as saying, "Remember that time is money, waste neither time nor money, but make the best use of both." I think those are good advice, and I don't know about you, but in July, we always get our property taxes, and so, you know, I try to save up through the year for them, and I was a little bit miffed this year because they were $300 more than I planned. But suppose instead of we are given an opportunity to give and to choose, what if we were assessed or even taxed to support the work of the church? How would you feel about that? That would change our whole attitude about giving, wouldn't it? And Jesus says in the scriptures, "Freely you have give, freely receive. Freely you have received, freely give." That's from Matthew 10:8. Freely ye have received. We have received freely, haven't we? We have so much. And Jesus simply asks us to give. And so as we have our offering box here in the back, we no longer take up all the offering, but we do want to take time to pause and pray and give God thanks. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we live in a land of plenty. We have been given much. We have received. On countless occasions, birthdays and Christmases and anniversaries, Lord, so many ways that we have received. And as a church, we have received. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to bless. Thank you for the gifts that have been shared today. Thank you for those that have been shared in the past. And Lord, we pray that you would multiply them as you did with the loaves and the fish. We pray, Lord, that you would use them greatly and give our leaders wisdom in the disbursement of those funds for the ministry. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to show yourself strong in even our areas of finance. And so, Lord, thank you. And we ask you to bless. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to give you an opportunity to share together that which's on your heart with the congregation, a joy or concern. That we can pray about. So, what would you like to mention? Karen?
Nancy
and Ron are home, and Ron had a little incident with his arm turning black and blue. Had to go down and check that out, but his pain has been relatively very small, limited, and so we praise God for that and continued healings. And Jackie, as well, we want to pray for her knee. Yes?
Yeah, I was going to mention Sam, Sister Jackie, and my wife, Pat, we keep her in our prayers. Brother Bob, he's having some issues and so forth again, so we keep him on our prayers. Ralph and Debbie. I'm going to just open up to everyone that's in our church that's having issues, health or whatever it might be, that the Lord will bless them and take care of them.
Thank you. Others.
I want to thank God and everybody for their prayers for Debbie's eyesight is improving, and she drove yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So
praise God.
She's coming around slowly, but she's doing a lot better.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes, Danny. First for the Peters family, extended family as well. Any others?
Just want to continue to keep Kenny Beal on our prayer list. I announced the other week that he had surgery, and God is good. They didn't have to give him a replacement valve. They were able to fix the valve itself, and he is doing really well. So let's give, not only do we pray, but give thanks for that.
Amen. Let's come before the Lord in prayer as we bow our heads. If there's an unspoken request, just a hand up and down quickly. Thank you. Unspoken. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for an opportunity that we can bring that which on our hearts and minds to you before your throne of grace this morning. Thank you, Lord, for interceding for us, and we pray you would, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, would you would move in each of these that have been spoken here this morning. We pray especially for healing and wholeness for those who've had surgeries, and we ask, Lord, you would just continue to show yourself strong in continuing symptoms that many of our members have had. Related to various issues, Lord, we just ask that you might have your way in each family, each individual's life. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for improvements. We pray, Lord, for our country and other countries, Lord, are experiencing turmoil and war. We pray, Lord, as the Prince of Peace, that you would come and intervene. Move in the situation in Israel and Gaza. We pray you would move in Ukraine. And, we pray, Lord, you would have your way in Africa. So many places are experiencing unrest, insecurity, famine. Lord, we live on a very troublesome rock, and we pray, Lord, you would show yourself strong. Those who are hungry today, we think of children around the world who may go to bed tonight hungry. We pray that you would provide food, provide shelter, provide security. We enjoy these blessings so often, Lord, and we ask that you would extend them to others who do not have them. God, we pray for wisdom in the decision that needs to be made in regards to improving our building. And we ask, Lord, for direction and guidance, good use of the resources. We ask, Lord, that you would just touch each one here today, Lord. I pray that you would open up your word, examples from your word, Lord, and show us what it is that you'd have us to do in the week ahead. So, God, we want to give you thanks. We want to express our love for you. You have been so good. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his death on Calvary has paid our price for the forgiveness that we have in and through him. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. And we'll use the word debt and debtors. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'll share in our second hymn here today, and this is number 428.
Come to the garden alone.
We're going to read the scripture a little bit later here in my sermon. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts now and our minds be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The Dutch have a proverb that goes like this: when there is room in the heart, there is room in the house. When there is room in the heart, there is room in the house. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Hospitality is using what God has given to us to demonstrate his love for us. It is cheerfully sharing food and shelter and conversation to benefit others. I think it's an important character quality to develop. Dolly Madison, hopefully many of you will recall that name. Dolly was known for her hospitality. Did you know that her Quaker parents freed their slaves, but then they had financial difficulties, and Dolly, at the age of 15, had to discontinue her schooling to take over the house chores of cooking and making clothes. Yeah, they made all their clothes back then. for her six younger siblings. The skills that she developed under these circumstances enabled her to be sensitive to the needs of others. Her first husband and youngest son died both of fever in the same day, in 1793. Dolly then later married James Madison, who would become the fourth president. She was noted for holding Washington social functions in which she invited members of both political parties, essentially spearheading the concept of bipartisan cooperation. Previously, leaders would only meet with members of one party at a time, and politics could often be a very violent affair, resulting in physical altercations and even duels. Dolly helped to create the idea that members of each party could amicably socialize, network, and negotiate with each other without violence. By innovating political institutions, she did much to define the role of the president's spouse, known only much later as the title of First Lady, a function which she sometimes performed even earlier for the widowed Thomas Jefferson, the third president. During her many years as hostess, her social graces made her famous, and her polite tact maneuvered conversations to avoid conflicts. It would be absolutely impossible for anyone to behave with more perfect propriety than she did, said a resident of Washington who wrote about her hosting skills. She continued to practice hospitality in Washington even after the burning of the White House in 1812, until the time of her death, until 1849. You probably have your own memories and stories of examples of hospitality that you could tell that happened in your family. On Pat's side of the family, her mother Evelyn could recall one relatively well-known hobo by the name of Frank Feathers, who ate breakfast with her at the breakfast table in the family kitchen. In the 1930s and 40s, transients or homeless men were called hobos, and they would often come through our area, and they would sleep overnight in the barns. They would often be very grateful for the hospitality that was shown to them they met along the way. Frank Feathers became fairly well known for his carvings. He has some canes and some other things that he has carved. Even so, a whole furniture, bedroom furniture set carved by Frank Feathers, and he did one time. I can recall in my own family, my parents were often very generous and willing to host people. If we had a businessman or an insurance man that would come to the farm, oftentimes they stayed for lunch and had conversation around the table. I will never forget the night, one snowy night. Our farm laid between 81, the interstate, and Route 11, one of the main roads going through our area, and there was a motel on 11. And so there was a sign up there at the end of our roads pointing for a motel back this way. And so oftentimes people would come through Kramer Road looking for the motel. Well, on this particular night, it was snowing pretty heavily, and a tractor trailer tried to come back that way and got stuck as far as our farm. And so Mom and Dad, of course, put him up for the night. It was not unusual for us to have visitors at the table and in our home. When there is room in the heart, there is room in the house. Hospitality is cheerfully sharing food and shelter and conversation to benefit others. I think it is still a good character quality for today. I was pleased to hear Deb suggest that we take meals, another aspect of hospitality. We are actually commanded to do this as Christians, and I think as a congregation, it's very inviting and often causes church growth. The New Testament uses a Greek word for hospitality. It's actually two words put together, phino and exos, which is it means close friend. Philo is close friend, and exos is strangers or guests. And so hospitality is a concern for the welfare of those who are in need of food, clothing, and shelter. It is caring for strangers as if they were close friends or loved ones. Now, Jesus taught this principle of hospitality by saying in Luke 14, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends or your brothers, your relatives, or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Now, the Old Testament also has a lot of examples of practice of hospitality that's been rooted in culture and tradition of Judaism. You might recall Abraham, who hosted the three angelic visitors, which told Sarah that she was going to have a baby. Lot hosted two angels on their visit to Sodom before it was destroyed. Laban hosted Abram's servant, who was looking for a wife for Isaac, and Rebecca came and drawled the water for him and his camels. Joseph hosted his brothers in Egypt with the meal. Pharaoh asked Jacob to come to Canaan, to settle there. Rahab invited and hosted the Hebrew spies to Jericho. And David, the King David, in order to show love to Saul's family, helped his grandson, who was handicapped, and invited him to come and sit at the king's table. However, for today, I chose another example of hospitality comes from the New Testament, and this is Acts 28. And looking back, I don't think I have ever preached a message on hospitality or this particular scripture. Probably have referred to this scripture in terms of its being a shipwreck, and we recall Paul reaching into the fire and a snake coming out and biting him. We remember that part. But think about this scripture in terms of hospitality. I'll read from Acts 28, 1 through 10. This is Paul recording his adventure. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw that the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook off the fire, off into the fire, and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Phoebus, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. Wow. God had rescued Paul and his passengers from sea wreck. Can you imagine drowning in the sea? Didn't happen. Only to be bitten by a snake, but everything was fine. And they were impressed. Charles Stanley says that God had just rescued Paul from drowning at sea, and immediately he suffered another kind of trouble. Yet God used both difficult incidences to showcase his power and love to those who did not yet believe in him. Hospitality of the people. First, you can imagine someone coming out of the sea, being cold, it's at night, freezing, shivering. They gathered a fire and provided something for them. They provided hospitality. And that led to the healing of their diseases. Paul shared with them what he had. He had faith. And they shared with Paul what they had. They had things that were necessary for his ongoing trip. He didn't do it to get the gifts, but they supplied his needs out of their gratefulness to God for the blessings of the healings of their people. Now, Malta is not a small island. It's a fairly large island off the boot of Italy, between Italy and Africa. It's a fairly large island, and I imagine it was a good many once the word started getting around, hey, so-and-so was healed. Others came, and all were healed. Hospitality is using what God has given to us to demonstrate his love for others. And it's not just a good idea of sharing, but it's a command. A command for us as believers to obey. In 1 Peter 4:9 it says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Romans 12:13, distributing the needs of the saints given to hospitality. Hebrews 13:2, entertain strangers, many times angels unaware. And in 1 Timothy and Titus it says, a bishop must be hospitable. Some of the guidelines or restrictions about the type of people who we should invite into our homes include that we should not be hospitable to those with immoral behavior, with those who promote false doctrine, or those who are angry or liars. Hospitality is a character quality for maturing Christians, for church leaders, and for churches, I think, even today. Now, what would you say about a church that had experienced rapid growth and had a large turnout, large attendance? You would probably begin to imagine maybe a huge physical facility, maybe in the suburban part of a major metropolitan area, near a city or something. Would you imagine a church in the country belonging to a denomination with declining membership that could have such growth? What about us here at Monocacy, here on the Ridge? I suspect if I asked you, we would probably all say that we're a friendly congregation, right? We are. Not necessarily an evangelistic one, but we are very family-oriented, and people do feel welcomed here. But I wonder, could God yet move even more at Monocacy? Could God cause even renewed growth here? An example comes from Oakland Church of the Brethren in Ohio. They are located in a farming community, and in the late 1990s and the 2000s, they were not an urban, suburban area. They were in the rural country area. They were a little bit awkward about asking spiritual questions to people. Speaking to strangers was not their custom. Making cold calls or unsure about giving the right answers kind of caused them to fear rejection. They yet experienced steady growth. And so what happened? Did they have a special crusade or revival? Was there a new housing development near their church? Did they have a new charismatic pastor? Did they change denominations? No. What transformed Oakland's church life and was a result was its ability to attract and to hold new members because of their emphasis on biblical hospitality. They reflected on a study and the ways that they were practicing hospitality, and then they made it more intentional. They realized as a congregation that they were friendly. They were willing to work together. They had a sense of closeness amid diversity, yet everyone felt like each one was important in the church. People were committed, and there was a family atmosphere that showed concern and support for all. And by practicing hospitality on a more intentional basis, they experienced the spiritual outcome and rewards of this ancient practice renewed. They, of course, used the Bible for understanding and study. They took training seriously with refresher opportunities. I have a handout that they used in their congregation, which helps on some of this training. They gave members different assignments based on their spiritual gifts. They highlighted the positive changes they saw in their fellowship. They had a plan in place to invite visitors to lunch. They cultivated the art of listening and conversing with people. And they used systematic strategies to reach out to inactives. They strived to put away evaluation and judgment. And they began to see the stranger as a potential friend rather than someone who was unknown. They renewed their focus on Sunday school and particularly emphasized small groups or cell groups. And their influence in the community grew as they were seen as role models. Here's how they defined hospitality. They said that hospitality is the attitude and practice of providing the atmosphere and opportunities, however risky, in which strangers are free to become friends, thereby feeling accepted, included, and loved. The relationship thus opens up the possibility for eventual communion among the host, the stranger, and God. The stranger is any person or group not known to the host. The host perceives that this unknown person or group has the potential for a relationship as an enemy or as a friend. Jesus said, "I was a stranger and you invited me." Wouldn't it be something if we emphasized hospitality and made a significant change in our lives? Would it not have a change in the life of our congregation as well? Now remember, hospitality is not a new gimmick or some strategy for church growth. But it is often the byproduct of our congregation's love and concern for others. It is the maturing of our faith. I think even in our society today, with all the technology that we have, we still have people that need connection, support, and friendship. This week, that was kind of highlighted for me. So we take our break at around 10 o'clock. We take a 20-minute break, and there's about 8 or 10 of us at night on the night shift, and everyone, notice, goes out to the lobby. There's some nice, easy chairs out there, and we sit in the lobby. Everyone's sitting in the lobby looking at their cell phone and not talking. But we want to be together. And so we want to be together, but we're doing this individual thing looking at our cell phones in the few minutes that we have. There's a need for connection. There's a need for friendship and support. The Dutch say that when there is room in the heart, there is room in the house. So let's widen our welcome. Hospitality is more than just being having a friendly server at the restaurant or having someone who checks you in at the hotel lobby, a receptionist. Hospitality is cheerfully sharing food, shelter, conversation to benefit others. It is using what God has given us to demonstrate His love for others. Yes, I think we are a friendly congregation. We have received a warm greeting and welcome. I think this is one of the few brethren congregations that still emphasize the brethren kiss. And there's been many good, warm conversations after church, our times together over lunch, just to name a few. but wonder what would happen if we were more intentional about it. What could we do to make it a priority? Hospitality begins with an inventory of the physical and spiritual resources that we have that we can share with our guests. Perhaps some ways that we can use to widen our welcome, just to name a few, would be to have a discussion about sharing hospitality and how we're doing that and what are some ways that we could do that better. By really noticing people. Now, when we're a small group, we can't help but notice, right? But speaking to strangers and inviting them to come in to share food, share conversation, share with us in some way. Perhaps a colorful welcome sign out front would help. Remember, Frederick County is growing and will continue to grow. And so there are new neighbors among us. Who are they? Where do they go? What do they do? What are their needs? Maybe if we welcome them into the community and introduce ourselves, perhaps send a card or make an occasional phone call or invite them as visitors to lunch after church. We should remember that when we have church suppers or fellowship meals, it's great for us to be together and to share together and talk, but to consider those that are on the outside, those are on the fringes. So when we have a family picnic or a church supper, maybe we should try to plan who are those that we could invite that are on the outside. Who are the disabled in our area? Who could really use a night out? We need to work on remembering names, invite them over to our house, receive them as guests, perhaps even as a new friend. One of the traditions that we have in our home since we got married 35 years ago is that we have a guest register. And so when people come into our home, we have them sign in. And we were doing that when they first came, but now we kind of do it whenever people come. And it's a little bit of a conversation piece, too. Then they can look back, oh, look, you were here on such and such a date, you know. And so we're glad to have you again. And so it's a good way to remember when guests come to our home. At church, how can we be more hospitable? It might be just simply having the worship leader explain aspects of her service. You're welcome to kneel or you remain seated. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. We use debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Little things like that help people feel a little bit more welcome. It might be that we could do a friend Sunday. Everyone invite a friend the same week, and so that person doesn't feel like they're quite, you know, standing out of the crowd. And so everyone has a friend, and everyone is welcome. It could be that we need to do the Fireman's Appreciation Sunday again. We have so many people who are connected with the fire hall, and to show our appreciation to them, we could host them for a day, even a meal. You know, maybe a nice thing to do would be to have when guests or visitors come, to have a gift, something that's already prepared and ready to hand out, maybe a little basket with some little goodies or something in it would be a nice way of showing appreciation for them taking the time to come. We need to consider who is in our circle of influence. Each of us have a different realm, different area, circumstances that we go in, the particular grocery store that we shop at, the particular business that we work at, the particular bank that we go to. All of us know different people in the community. And so thinking about those circles of relationships that we have and maybe connecting with someone in some way. We need to think about our inactives. Why are they not attending? Why are they not here? Did something happen? You know, it's important that when a visitor comes, that contact be made within a week or two, and particularly a follow-up and within 3 or 4 weeks that they want to make them feel that they were welcomed. Are we reaching out to them? And we also want to remember those family members. All of us have certain individuals in our family that are, we might call them the black sheep. they're out here on the fringes, you know. How can we work them in? How can we get them? You know, I've been praying for them for years. Well, maybe there's some aspect of hospitality that we could use that would help them be a part of the fellowship again. And then we want to consider sharing our website. You know, Maxine does a great job with this. And it's really a beautiful thing. And it's easy to use. And so we want to remind people, hey, if you missed the Sunday, you can go online and listen to that again. You can hear the whole service, hear the sermon. So the last 5 weeks are on there. And so that would be a great outreach, sharing that. We might want to gather their email address and add, hey, could you add so-and-so onto the email address? Very simple and easy thing to do. That would include them on hearing the news and getting the information. But we need to ask ourselves, how hospitable am I? And here's a couple of personal evaluation questions that we can ask ourselves. Have you purposed to develop a spirit of hospitality and to use your home to demonstrate it? Have you removed clutter in your home that would be a distraction to visitors? Have you taught the members of your family to practice proper etiquette, whether or not visitors are there in the home? Have you learned specific questions to ask in order to develop friendships with your guests? When you invite others into your home, is your goal their comfort or to impress them with the lavishness of your home? Do you have items in your home that illustrate answers to prayer or testimonies of God's power? During conversations, do you focus on the interests of your guests or on the things that you've done in your family, what they have done? Have you prepared family activities, such as maybe playing music or having a game ready that would encourage your guests? And do you have a peaceful atmosphere in your home? Maybe appropriate music playing or spirit of harmony among family members. Do you have anything in your home that would offend a visitor? The gift of hospitality, I think, still is so significant. And when there is room in the heart, there is room in the house. And so we can say, I will. Hospitality, so easy to do. I wonder if you would say, I will. I will welcome with visitors and guests. I will make others feel important. I will prepare for guests. I will gladly share my things. And I will not expect anything in return. Brothers and sisters, I think we can widen our welcome. And in so doing, who knows what God will do? It might be surprising, but when there is room in the house, there's room in the heart, and we have room in this house, and we have heart. And I believe that there are still good days ahead. I believe that our attendance can improve. And not because we're doing hospitality, but because the byproduct, it will happen. I think that as we widen our welcome individually and at home and here at church, we will see God do great things. And so, brothers and sisters, let us share hospitality. Would you pray for me, please? God, we have thought briefly here this morning about the character quality of hospitality. And we pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to grow in this area of our lives. Lord, we pray for our families and our friends and those that we come across on a daily basis. We ask that strangers would become friends. Visitors and guests would be incorporated into the life of the congregation. And Lord, let us be more like Jesus in this area. He welcomed everyone, forgave everyone, healed everyone. Lord, help us to be welcoming. Help us to widen our welcome, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to close our service with number 365. Would you stand with me, please? Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. Amen.